future and starting to really play around with lots of big ideas about the whole of society and the whole of humanity and where we go next, I think.
Very much answers my question. And was there one book or one film when you were younger that really set you off along this path?
There's a lot. I mean, one of my favourite books from when I was young was a Frank Herbert book called The Decidy Experiment, which was pretty much, a legal, you know, tale. It was a courtroom drama, but set on another planet, and it was all about the nuance of language. Mm. And that was an amazing and compelling story. And you had to pay very, very sharp attention to all of the language in the book. It was fantastic. And I was a huge Asimov and Heinlein fan, and Asimov in particular. I mean, very easy reads, but I just loved the whole kind of space opera and, you know, robotics, and he had such great ideas. Decide Experiment was probably the one of the key stories for me.
Wonderful. We look forward to seeing you the 3rd of May then, I guess.
Yes, do come down.
Lovely. Of course, there is a parade that launches on the 28th of April, so share with us what's happening in the parade, Louis.
The parade, it's in Stratford Town Centre, so we meet outside the Stratford Pitch House at 2 o'clock, and then we parade around the town for a couple of hours. And if you are coming and in costume, register on our website, and the first 250 people who register will be entitled to a wristband to come to our little after party. And we've just got confirmation that we have a couple of people who've been in Doctor Who. We're doing a sort of Doctor Who-ish theme to the parade this year. So we'll have a few Doctors there and a couple of Daleks and various other. But we'll have all the other costumes and all other cinema on TV is represented. And come as you are. Come as you are, come dressed as somebody else. You know, you'll be very welcome. Yeah. But we've got Sophie Aldred, who is Ace, Peter Davison's assistant. We've got the Cyberman controller, and there's a few other surprises as
I don't normally actually gain see, but I think you'll find Sophie Aldred was Sylvester McCoy's assistant, Peter Davison.
What did I say?
You said Peter Davison, you know, assistant.
You're absolutely right.
And various. I have to keep up to speed with this because on the 11th of May I'll be involved with this.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Because I need to act appropriate. Do you think that is nicely put together?
Very nicely put together.
That's right. Nicola Clancy's arrived in the studio. Yay, Nicola!
Hello!
Have you managed to actually catch up with some of the show en route today?
I have, yes. Good. I've been listening.
Yes, there we are. You saw those wonderful sort of comments from our fans of Legs & Co. from last week's show.
Oh, yes.
They're all there, amazing.
She needs to come back.
It's quite astounding. Anyway, moving on from that point of view, will there be any meerkats in the parade? Because I think that's what we need now. I think
you could bring a meerkat, or actually, better than that, we've got a dog show on this year.
Nice. Yeah. We like our terriers in particular, actually.
A superhero dog show on Sunday the 5th of May.
Smart.
At noon. We've got a company called Dogstar who actually professionally shoots dogs.
Let me just hold back there. Yeah. When you say professionally shoot dogs, obviously we're not talking about lining up those little puppy eyes. Is that, going to actually shoot you? You know, no, as in
exactly.
Film, camera. That's
they're,
the whole thing.
They're professional photographers of animals. So I kept trying to correct myself, and I thought, actually, do you know what, I'll just
run with it. Crypto. Will Crypto be there? Because he, of course, was Superboy's dog. Crypto.
Well, I'm sure someone will bring a dog dressed as Crypto, but I'm imagining we might get a few dogs dressed as Superman, in actual fact.
So,
So we'll have a professional photographer on hand who will be taking pro photographs of your animals. We're going to put them all online.
I might raise to this challenge. We might send Minty Steed and the Southside Side FM Terriers in full costume, as put together by Patchwork Pooch.
I'll
say that again. To actually schedule that. I mean, Ed, you're smiling, but I can see we're possibly on a winner here.
It will be a lot of fun.
It'll be splendid. Listen, it's so much joy to actually work through. Nicola, would you like to throw those last two questions to Louis Safi, please?
Yes. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I always do.
Fantastic. And can we look forward to speaking with you very soon?
Yes, you can, absolutely. Now,
I'm thinking, Louis, as we build up to the fantastic climax, how do you feel about coming back same time next week?
Same time next week, sounds like fun.
We'll go with it. Up next, Arthur Weingarten, of course, author of a whole heap of other things, including Murder, She Wrote, $6 Million Man, Wonder Woman, and music that was featured in this little series.
Family. Wonder Woman. The Green Hornet. Bonanza. Murder, She Wrote. The Mod Squad. Honey West. Ironside. Just some of the series which have benefited from the writing and producing genius of Arthur Weingarten. And now the legendary writer is live on the Midweek Drive. Prepare to be amazed.
We are, and we will, and we are impressed with respect to the whole thing. Arthur Weingarten, how are you, sir?
I'm well, and I'm always absolutely taken aback by that intro.
Well, we only like to write the things accordingly. Vic Mizzi, of course, from the original TV series, they're the theme to Gomez Adams. And recently I took it upon myself, Arthur, to actually check out more of your magical stuff, and I caught two fabulous episodes, of course. One was Ophelia Visits Morticia, which, of course, Ophelia, the sister of Morticia Adams, and the other classic, which I noticed was co-written with another writer, which personally, I must admit, I thought was extraordinarily wonderful and somewhat poignant as well. We are, of course, talking about Lurcher's Grand Romance.
Yes.
Oh. Sorry, many's the time I've actually felt like Lurch, particularly when I've seen some of our sort of essay writings coming. Oh. And particularly, I have to say, Lurcher's Grand Romance features a dance sequence, which is quite astonishing, really. It's just, you know, to me, he manifests all sorts of things there. Reason I'm mentioning the Addams Family, Arthur, is quite simply because, of course, one of those scripts is up for grabs in the continuing campaign to obviously raise funds for Alexandra Bastido's Animal Sanctuary as well, from that point of view. So we'll be sorting our way through that. Anyway, how is life in Woodstock?
Well, life in Woodstock today is very sunny and in the high 60s, heading towards 70 after very cold and dark weather, so it's beautiful. But, of course, we've gone through a terrible thing here in Boston at the marathon, and that's reverberating throughout the country, not just the fact that people are saddened, but that it now more and more looks like it may be domestic terrorism as opposed to unleashing the dogs of war all over the world. It seems it might be homegrown. So that's, you know, of course, very worrying. And,
it's almost a kind of sad reflection on humanity that you almost want to self-destruct or press the self-destruct button. I mean, obviously, any sort of violence is not great from that point of view, but to actually go through the notion of, you know, conceivably it's an internal scenario seems just surreal. Ed, of course, you were part of an excellent coverage with the American Dream Team yesterday, which you're interviewing the mayor of Boston in Lincolnshire, as opposed to Boston, obviously, in the States, because the connections are obviously there. What are your views on the whole thing?
We're still less than 3 days since it happened, aren't we? But it does seem to be quite a long way in the past now. And I think what came out of the programme that we did yesterday was that there was this sort of not information, if you like. You know, who'd done it and why? And I would imagine, Arthur, that that's been very difficult for that information not to come out fairly quickly.
Well, it has. And, of course, we're in a world where there is instant gratification in every area, including the news. Usually either some group takes responsibility or you pinpoint them through facts. But here it's amorphous. No one knows. And then that kind of netherworld kind of thing is even more frightening than if you knew who did it. Because there seems, one, violence is always senseless, but this seems truly gratuitous to take an event like that and to civilians standing on a sidewalk and then not attribute it to something. I mean, the horror of saying, yes, all right, I understand I'm being an assassin, but it's for a cause, whether you agree with that cause or not. Here, the mystery surrounding it seems to make it even worse.
Yeah, and the way we've seen the reports, particularly of the young 8-year-old boy and so forth.
Yes.
And it's just, in a way, I know terrorism, if that's what we're going to call it, is always getting people when they're vulnerable. But these were people who were tired and happy and not suspecting anything like this might happen.
Yes, yes. And the terrible thing, of course, because of the way the two bombs were placed at ground level, the runners were not hit, some shrapnel wounds, but it was the spectators, you know, those who came just to stand and watch and participate as being an onlooker. They were the ones who suffered, and we keep getting more and more as the reports come out of the trauma hospitals and all of that, of the limbs blown off and the heroism of people, and so it is. It's just tragic. And then today, Annette and I watched Margaret Thatcher's funeral at St. Paul, which was magnificent, and the BBC covered it beautifully. And, you know, neither Annette or I agreed with Margaret Thatcher's style or content for the most part. There were some things. But I must say that your country, it hands down, when you do a dress-up, you do it the right way. It was just magnificent. There was not a flaw in it. And as I say, the object or subject of it is immaterial as to a nation coming together to do something.
Well, it has
and
been...
It was very poignant. It was poignant for us because of this event here in Boston, only 200 miles from where we are at this moment.
It has certainly been a week for some fairly difficult and emotional television watching. I'd just like to mention, Arthur, that on the Siren FM website, sirenonline.co.uk, the Mayor of Boston, Lincolnshire, released a message of condolence and solidarity to the Mayor of Boston, Massachusetts, yesterday.
Oh, that's lovely.
So for all of our listeners, it's on the website, sirenonline.co.uk.
Yeah, we'll take a look at that. That's lovely. Yeah, that's appreciated.
Well, as you know, Arthur, we might be a small station, but we like to feel there's a global reach here, and you know, we certainly obviously keep that human theme going. Katie, thoughts and questions for yourself?
Yeah, I was quite heartbroken when I found out about the Boston bombing. And it's just like, when people are doing a marathon, then that happens. It's just awful.
Nikki?
Nicola? Yeah, there's no, you know, no sense to it. There's no sense, because there's no closure in terms of I did this because. And even if it came tomorrow, already the anger is building in a free-floating way, which is dangerous, actually dangerous, because people then put a face or a nationality to their anger, and usually, of course, it has no reason to it behind it, no fact. So that's a dangerous thing, to have free-floating fear and anger. And, you know, I keep fingers crossed that it isn't going to show itself, you know, in ways that none of us would want.
They often say that life imitates art, art imitates life, truth is stranger than fiction, and so on. As a writer, Arthur, obviously you'd have to say this is like an episode of NCIS written large, and all sorts of things coming through on that basis. Did you feel when you were writing regularly yourself that sometimes you take and draw from the experiences and actually say, well, okay, let's make a dramatic incident out of this, but obviously with the proviso being that hopefully our heroes would actually sort of win out in the day?
Yes, as a matter of fact, you know, in talking with Annette about this kind of thing and the fact that, as you just brought out, we said, too, we don't watch that kind of television, because if we want rip from the headlines, we read the headlines. Mm-hmm. We read the newspaper and watch the television. But I remember, and I'll do this as quickly as I can, I wrote there was a combat series here in America starring Vic Morrow as a young fellow. He was just starting out, and it was a very popular series, World War II. And they asked me, I could write about whatever I wanted, and they asked me to do one as quickly as possible, some scripts had fallen out. And I had an idea in my mind that, like all quiet on the Western Front, let's take the German point of view. After all, everyone is supposedly swearing allegiance to their flag, and we think of them as the enemy. Let's see what they think of us. So I took it from a German point of view, as best I could do, and had a German officer capture one of our fellows, and they were both pinned down in a foxhole, so it gave a good time to talk about what each thought about the other. And what came out of that was a very interesting thing, in that someone picked it up from the Los Angeles Times, and it started a 3 or 4 day dialogue in letters and then in a column about the fact that we never stop and think. This is way back in the 60s, early 60s. We never stop and really think, as they did in World War I, who is the enemy? World War II, we demonized them. The Japanese were all monkey-like, and the Germans were all pinning babies on bayonets. But in World War I, Fritz, the German, had a character that at some times was courtly, and the Junker class, von Richthofen, would wave to the pilots that he was shooting down and give them a final salute, or guide them to a field where, if they weren't mortally wounded, they'd land safely. And I remember thinking to myself, my goodness, I don't think I've ever written anything that elicited this kind of a response, which was never, I never thought it would. But I don't see that today, and I started thinking about it only as a result of this Boston Marathon. We are inundated with reality, whether those terrible reality shows on both sides of our countries here in England and America, or in our dramas, which, if it isn't real, it doesn't seem to have any currency. And I wonder how you feel about that.
Nicola, thoughts from yourself? Speechless.
Sorry, yeah,
it's been a long day. Ed, yeah. We'll go back to you.
It is hard to know what to think about it, isn't it? And, you know, over here we're such a long way away. But how do you know how the people of Boston are kind of getting on a day-to-day basis, how the clear-up operation is and so forth, if we take it back to that?
Yeah, what they're doing is they're walking up and down. We just saw this morning on the news, they're walking up and down the site. It's still a crime scene, so they can't go exactly where that is. But it seems that they're trying to make sense out of the site, that some sense, some feeling of why this happened will come from on Boylston Street, which is a main shopping area of fine shops and hotels and all of that. And that just down beyond the finish line is the Boston Public Library, which is a gorgeous building and beautifully appointed inside, and is a symbol of all that should be good in the world, a repository of wisdom. And they're wandering, and they shot close-up things. They're stunned. They're stunned by this, because
we've just
the
had
last time, I must say, the last time violence happened in Boston, it was you people who did it.
Well, exactly. Don't get started on the Tea Party now. We've just had a little line from one of our Facebook friends, of course, and indeed shortly to be joining us on the show, that's Ace director Ilana Rain, whose movie, of course, Ellipse, gets the premiere at the Sci-Fi London Film Festival, and she's listening to the legendary writer Arthur Weingarten, who's on now. Tune in for some mind-expanding radio. So there we are. That's Ilana Rain. You see, directors are still looking for good writers all the way, Arthur, and, you know, we're still keen to actually work through that. Ilana will be on at 1:15 Eastern Standard Time, as far as that's concerned. We started off by floating the idea of the Adams family, which is interesting. I mean, I think we'll come to another sort of line with respect to that in its own way. Katie, any thoughts or questions for yourself?
About anything.
Yes, that's, I think we're, Arthur is very amenable to all sorts of things. Life, the universe,
don't actually
the guru of wisdom. Let's sort of, because I'm thinking actually for the next the Returning of Good Self Arthur, I'm thinking possibly one or two classics we could look at here. Obviously, we could reappraise the Addams Family, which I think is worth doing, because by then I'll have had a chance to actually pass on the episodes of season three's fantastic scenario, of course, Lurcher's wonderful romance, and of course when Ophelia met Morticia, or rather Ophelia visits Morticia, in which Uncle Fester hopes to join the Peace Corps to help Ophelia win back her latest lost love. Curiously, of course, Ophelia, played by Carolyn Jones, who also was Morticia as well. Nice little subtle touch there.
And who also was Aaron Spelling's wife.
There you go. Exactly. It sorts the whole thing through in every sense of the word. There.
And also, there's an interesting story about, you said it was co-written. Well, it was. But I never sat with that fellow. And there's an interesting story there. So if you want, next time...
I'm thinking of that because the other one, which I think is a classic we need to look towards, is, of course, the wonderful William Shatner and T.J. Hooker, because that's another one which I think is out there. So that's the things to come. Nicola, would you like to throw those last two questions to Arthur Weingarten, please?
Yes. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Arthur?
I certainly have. I only wish the topic could have been a little more laugh-filled.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had to address it, Arthur, and I think we've done it with grace and aplomb, and hopefully set the right tone, because obviously we need to work through this, and certainly in Britain we had the tragedies of the IRA and a whole range of things. Bottom line is we'd like to sort of endorse this through Siren, Midweek Drive, and indeed other stations, etc. Violence is not good, it's wrong, it's not big, it's not clever. Don't do it.
And can we look forward to speaking with you in the very near future?
Not only that, but I eagerly await your call.
Arthur Weingarten will return. Annette Andre is back with us next week. But now as the time begins to approach 5 to 6 in the UK, at 17:55, what time is it to actually press the button, Katie? What button should we press?
Michelle Monroe.
That's right, that will be this one.
Having been spotted by George Martin as a major talent, following a recording session for Peter Sellers, the renowned producer set about trying to find the right sound for Matt Monroe's first Parlophone single. The initial session, arranged and conducted by Ron Goodwin in January 1960, produced two songs, only one of which would see release at the time as the single's B-side. But they hadn't found quite what was wanted for the A-side, so a further session took place in March, this time with Tommy Watt as musical director. Once again, two songs were recorded, with the one, Fare Thee Well, My Pretty Maid, being shelved. The other track was written by George Gershwin in 1930, with lyrics added posthumously by his brother Ira in 1937 for the movie The Goldwyn Follies. Sadly, it was not the hit that George Martin had hoped for. That would come in the shape of Portrait of My Love later that year. Tonight's choice also saw the first of many high-profile misspellings of Dad's name, when it appeared as Munro with a U, instead of Monroe with an O, on the record label of Love Walked In.
In you, when love walked in with you, when love walked in with you, when love walked in with you.
So we did say we'd give a little acknowledgement to the nice little comment that came up from Legs & Co. fan page on Facebook last week. I really enjoyed the show and watched it all on webcam. I do hope you get Rosemary back on the Midweek Drive sometime in the future. I also thought Mike Dooley's positive messages were inspirational. It's the first time I've heard of him, but I've now bookmarked his site. Well, there we are. We'll be meeting Mike on Saturday, of course, when we go on location to Manchester. All sorts of things from that point of view. That's Nicola Ed. Katie, who should come along?
Early start.
Early, very, very early start. Coming up next, Rupert Baker will be telling us about how life is going in Windsor. Ilana Rain will be coming up. And, of course, Phil Dearness, Blood, Sweat and Tears.
Girl.
You made me so very happy. I wanna spend my life thanking you. Thank you, baby.
As I said, Blood, Sweat and Tears, You Made Me So Very Happy. Siren 107.3 FM. OK, it looks as though there's going to be a message left on the Rupert Baker answer phone, possibly Windsor.
Oh, no.
Don't worry. We'll get our souls together and hopefully connect with him. If not, I mean, the bonus is we should have to get some extra added time with Alana Rain, which can never be knocked, really, in terms of that. And possibly even Phil Leonis as well. He might, for once, actually make his 6.30 slot. It's quite astounding, really. Or then again, Rupert might actually answer. We don't know. All very exciting. I don't think it is. I think it's going to go to answer phone. No. Ah, well. Maybe he's not going to even sort of go to answer phone. Maybe he's just going to continue ringing.
Hi, it's Rupert Baker. I'll take your call at the moment. Leave me a message and I'll come back to you as soon as I possibly can. Thank you. Bye.
We knew it would have
to be able to find this. Re-record your message.
I wonder how many people actually do re-record their messages. I mean, you could actually spend so much time just simply re-recording the message. But anyway, hi Rupert, this is Alex Levchuk and
Katie Grimerson
and
Edward Wellman
and
Nicola Clancy.
And obviously, you're not there, or you're out of range,
where
or you're.
Where are you?
Where are you, Rupert? Outrageous. Anyway, obviously we haven't connected this week. The first time in three consecutive weeks we haven't managed to find out what life is like in Windsor for yourself with respect to the tour of a century. Hopefully we'll connect in the very near future. It happens, you know, as John Lennon would say, stand by me. Well, I can tell you this much, Rupert. Nicola is devastated. We're going to have to go through so much therapy after the show. If you only picked up the phone when... outrageous.
This is Jean Bruce Scott, co-founder of America's Native Voices at the Autry, and you're listening to Alex Levchuk and the team on the Midweek Drive for Siren FM.
Splendid. I feel as though there's a bit of sunshine that comes across all the way from California just to actually connect that in its own way. So we've already seen a little update that's come across from Facebook saying they called early. They called early. Well, that's because we know that that she will always be ready. Who will always be ready? Well,
we may or may not all be Cylons, but the undisputed truth is that we're all delighted to share the perspectives of ace New York director Alana Rain. Prepare to take another step into the cosmos.
Go, Alana! Go, Alana! Go, go, go! Yay! I-L-A-N-A! I-L-A-N-A! Alana! Sorry, I'm getting carried away with the cheerleading approach here, but it's very important. Pom-poms are ready in the studio. We're rocking and rolling. And, of course, Ed Wellman is in the house as well. And looking forward to meeting you on the premiere of Ellipse on the 3rd of May at Sci-Fi London, as you may have heard earlier in the show, Alana.
I have, and I actually still can't believe I'm going to meet that in person.
No,
it's a little too much to
handle. It may be very disappointing. It will be for you, I'm afraid.
It's like saying, you know, Nicola Clancy with respect to Rupert Baker, Alana, it's phenomenal. You know, it's squealy still. What the hey? How's upstate New York, or whereabouts are we reaching you today? Are you in Manhattan?
No, I'm not in Manhattan. I'm heading there on Saturday, though, which is very exciting. I'm still in my undisclosed location, but that'll soon end over the summer when I'm very excited to announce that the crew here at PAX 33 is going to be moving to Los Angeles. We have we're in contract for our house here in this undisclosed location. So it's all very, very exciting.
It's just getting one exciting thing after another. It's that positivity that I think is so crucial in every sense of the word, really. I just sort of realised I think Rupert Baker was actually trying to reach us there to actually say he's now available, so we might juggle a few other bits of this around. Nicola, questions for Alana, of course. You were the person who provided Alana with those crucial directions to the underground shopping centre at the Marathon in Los Angeles. So, Nicola.
Yes, well, what else? Well, obviously you're going to be coming here in May for your premiere. What will you be looking forward to when you come to the UK, apart from that, obviously?
Right. Well, no, absolutely. I'll be arriving in the UK on Monday for post-production. We have a tremendous amount of work to do, and I'll be sitting in session with my editor, Ben, and with Luke, who you already mentioned, the composer, and working with Louis and Gareth on post-production, just getting all the elements, putting them into place. I have total faith in the team, and it may seem like there's a lot to do, and I heard Louis say fingers crossed, and, you know, I don't think I've ever heard that expression said more in my life than in regard to this.
Look, you know, you could have knock on wood, you can have anything, but Ilana, you've got nothing to fear because you have the midweek drive, the power of the midweek drive, those positive energies going through the whole process. All will be well.
No,
that's the important thing.
I think that that's fantastic. And, yeah, so, you know, I love London, and I'm made so many fantastic friends over these past couple of years there working on these projects. So it's, you know, it's just a great time, and it's going to be fantastic.
I like to feel it's opened up a
whole
it's opened up a whole new broadcasting career for you as well, Ilana. That's the point.
As well, no, absolutely. But you know, I know you started off so happy, and I appreciate that. But I do feel that I need to make a comment about you know, Mr. Weingarten's comments about Boston.
Yep.
You know, what happened here. And, you know, I mean, you've known me for a while about how I feel about the endless corporate media news cycle and the 24-hour news cycle and the drumbeat of negativity and the
absolutely
error machine that the news it has become over the past couple of decades, and how I've really chosen to remove myself from that. However, you know, obviously I'm still informed and I get news. And I was watching what happened unfold on Facebook through posts. I have several friends in Boston, actually, because I screened at a festival there, and I bonded with several people and who are now I consider friends of mine. And it was really interesting to see the evolution of the posts over the time, because at first people were confused, like there are reports of an explosion, and then certain conspiracies started getting tossed around, then more hard news came in. And it was also interesting to me how I saw that some people chose to use that disaster as a way to dramatize events in their own life, or, you know, they put their own personal fears onto this, and negativity and such. But another thing that I saw unfold, which seems to be happening with alarming regularity, is then the call to not be negative and the call to see the hope in humanity. And in a way, that was just as depressing to me as listening to the events itself. So I was taking in this whole event and the responses to it, and I was beginning to feel numb, and that was getting heartbreaking. I my heart actually began to break, and I was like, well, I'm taking this in, and I'm seeing these patterns repeat themselves time and time again. And then I saw something that my friend Patrick Sanitized posted on Facebook about, it was a photo of a man in a bomb squad, and he was in full gear. And yeah, I assume you know what those men look like. They are just completely padded, and they have machines on their heads. And he was walking towards the explosion. And that, to me, is all I can take away from this whole thing, that there are people in this world whose job, who've chosen to do a job that very few people would. That is, I'm walking towards this disaster. I'm walking towards the attack, towards the violence to help you all. And that's all I can take away from it. And I'm just quite saddened by the whole thing.
That's a quote from Neil Donald Walsh, one of our regular sort of contributors, in terms of obviously gurus whose influence Mike Dooley, amongst other things, with the line, breathe, relax, and know with confidence that all things will work out for you. And maybe we have to hang on to that faith. The old pat phrase, keep the faith, probably never more important than the sort of world in which we're living. Nicola, any thoughts or questions from yourself?
Well, obviously, yes, it is very sad to hear this news, and from what you said, I don't really know what else to say, really. It's quite, you know, breathtaking that this can happen. And
I think ultimately we also have to acknowledge that in terms of the global situation, any atrocity, any loss of life is a tragedy, and we are all diminished by it. And that's the line we perhaps need to take on board from the whole thing. Ed?
No, we are, and we're very privileged in America here especially, where this is not a daily occurrence. You know, I oftentimes, you know, just think of the people trying to raise their children with bombs dropping just constantly, or, you know, have to go hunt for fresh water. And, you know, I mean, everyone's life is relative, and we, you know, but it just helps to get some perspective, like you said, Alex, on the global situation. So, and I think, you know, Americans can, you know, we take these things in a different way, possibly, than the international world.
It's an interesting psyche, but it's always more devastating when it actually comes and strikes in the home area. And again, let's just hope that the reaction to this in terms of security and homeland and various other things isn't a knee-jerk response, because that would be the worst thing to actually happen in terms of working through that, because that way everybody loses. Ed,
absolutely.
Would you like to throw those last two questions to Ilana, please?
I would bowl them, I think, gently down the line to say, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us, Ilana, today?
Sure, Ed, but how am I going to ever recognize you at the BFI? Will you wear, like,
I'll wear a carnation
or something.
I'll be the one with Alex. How about that?
Ilana, there is a thing called Facebook. You can even become a friend of Ed on Facebook. You can see facebook.com/Southside Broadcasting for the Midweek Drive's very own Facebook page. Lots of photographs there. So, you know, there's no
Alex,
excuse.
Alex, I thought you were a romantic. Come on, there's no fun in that.
Fair enough, then. Ed will be wearing the carnation. Presumably you'll be wearing just yourself, basically. This is wonderful. It's great stuff. Yes, I shall be wearing myself. Ilana will return. Actually, Ilana, are you up for joining us next week? Because as I said to Louis, I think as we're approaching and that we're building up that to the excitement of Sci-Fi London, are you up for joining us next week about a similar time?
Yes, but I will be in London next week.
Well, there we are, you see. So you can connect with us whilst you're in London.
Perfect.
Genius. Here come the monkeys.
Okay.